Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Jeremy Scott Fitness Podcast Radio Show, coming to you on this Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024. Hopefully it finds you staying safe and staying sweaty all at the same time. On today's episode, we are talking about my personal sleep routine, things that I do and that I've done to get as much quality restorative sleep into my life, especially as you get older, and it just feels like you don't sleep as good as you maybe once did, especially when you're like a teenager or in your 20s, and then I believe every decade, 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond, it becomes a struggle for a lot of people. There's so many factors going on, stress, work, life, aging, hormones, you name it, and as we know, sleep is vital. We've done other podcasts on this before, but I'm going to walk you through what I do in terms of environment, habits, the exact supplements I take, when I take them, what my sleep currently looks like, some of the lows and highs that I've been through, and I'll actually walk you through all my sleep metrics as well today to give you guys a look at what it is for me currently. And just know things are always changing, and you're always evolving, and your body is always doing, you know, what it does. Sometimes you can help that out, and sometimes things just roll your way, and you don't have as much control. But full disclaimer, I'm coming to you from Heather's home office today as well. I got a puppy here sleeping right next to me. I don't know where my 14-year-old dog is at, so if you do hear some barking or tussling or some things going on, that is what's happening today. So before we jump in the episode one, our 30 for 30 challenge is going to be live on Monday, March the 18th. You guys can enroll right now inside the app. So jeremyscottfitness.app, it'll pop up right in the upper right-hand corner. You can just click join challenge. 30 days, 30 minutes each day. We'll have you guys do something. Obviously, each day we're training basically Monday through Friday on the weekends. Deeper dive into mobility and the tissue work, which you should be doing every day. But we do have a dedicated time to do it on the weekends in this program. It's a unique format each week. It evolves and changes every week with you guys. It's free for app members. Everybody else, you can join for a couple of pennies. Again, grand prize winner will fly you out here to Scottsdale, put you up at one of the resorts. You can come in the gym, rip it with us in the community. We'll do weekly prizes throughout with all our sponsors. It's just a nice kickstart as we head into summertime. So if you guys are looking for something to do specifically for the next 30 days and have a coach and accountability and a goal and have us walk you through it, jeremyscottfitness.app, click the challenge link up top for the 30 for 30 challenge, and you guys will get access to everything in the app plus that as well. And then also our friends at Just Meats, right now you can put in the code JSCOTT25 to get $25 off everything on the site. The link is in the show notes. This is what we use for our weekly meals here. Again, comes from a family ranch in Utah, grass-fed, no artificial colors, no added bullshit. It's just easy. It's quick. You can freeze it. You can put it in the fridge. You can add your veggies to it, but it's nice to have high-quality protein at a very, very reasonable price, much cheaper than what you're going to find at your grocery stores for the same quality cuts. And again, they have everything from turkey, chicken, pork, steak, all the red meats. Some of my favorites are the Hawaiian teriyaki chicken and the beef as well. The brisket's legit. They do have some awesome chicken breast choices as well, all super macro friendly for you guys. So if you're interested, check out the link in the show notes. It's a lot of the stuff I share on my stories. And if you guys put in the code JSCOTT25, you get $25 off everything today. And you guys already know, my homies at AG1, the one supplement I take every single day and I never miss, especially when I travel. I was traveling last week, packed it with me, took it with me, easy, no bullshit. Obviously, being healthy is tough, but it shouldn't be. And this is something that replaced not just my multivitamin years ago, but a lot of the other things I was taking, so now I don't have to travel and take 14 different pills every single day. If you want something that is quick, it's easy, it's simple, in my opinion, it's the best tasting that's out there, and that it has prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes, magnesium, B vitamins, vitamin C, zinc, and all the things you need for a healthy immune system and to cover the gaps in your nutrition, this is what I would take. If you guys want a free sample of AG1, hit me up. We'll send it right to your front door. I don't care what state, country, province you live in. We will give you a free sample. You can try it if you like it. Then we'll hook you up with a year's supply of free vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first order. So if you want to pick some up today, just go to drinkag1.com/JeremyScott and you guys will get all the free stuff. Or if you want a free sample, reach out and we will shoot it to you today. You'll get it. You can try it. And if you like it, you're good to go. All the other podcast sponsors are in the show notes here. Our friends at JLab Pro, where we get our protein, turmeric, collagen, and krill oils. Our friends at Dry Farm Wines. Again, buy a bottle of wine, get the next bottle for a penny. Our homies at Kettle and Fire Bone Broth, which I've been drinking every single day here as of late. And then again, for you guys who are looking to do something on the entrepreneurial front, business front, our mastermind group is open enrollment here. JeremyScottFitness.com/built-different-mastermind. I run that with my homie, David DiLorenzo, who's built an amazing business. We talk, share, bring in experts. We walk you guys through goals, leads, conversions, how to build your business, what you want it to look like, and not just your business, but more importantly, you know, then how much money you make, which is important, but how to build your ideal life and what fits you and your personality type. So if you're interested, the link is in the show notes. You can fill out the application, and I'll see you savages inside. But with that, we are talking my personal sleep routine here. Before I jump into the specifics of my sleep routine, I heard this story or a parable about a Chinese farmer, and it's just some food for thought as you're rolling through the week or the weekend or wherever you're listening to this. And I'm going to read it here, and then I'll give my 2 cents on it. And it's basically just a story of you never know what the consequences are going to be of both good and bad things that come into your life. And this is something that as I, you know, get older, I've really seen come to light, if you will. It's more clear now, you know, versus maybe when I was 25, because sometimes you think things are just black and white and they're not. There's a lot of gray area there, and there's a lot of perspective, and you don't know how things and opportunities and, you know, misfortunes and wins and losses are going to play out in your life. And you can take good and bad from most things. And that's kind of the story of the Chinese farmer. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer whose horse ran away. And that evening, all of his neighbors came around and commiserated. And they said, "We're so sorry to hear your horse ran away. That's very unfortunate." And the farmer said, "Well, maybe." And the next day, the horse came back, bringing 7 wild horses with it. And that evening, everybody came back to him and said, "Oh, that's lucky. What a great turn of events. You now have 8 horses." And the farmer said again, "Well, maybe." And the following day, his son tried to break one of those horses while it was riding. And it threw the son down and it broke the son's leg. And the neighbors came and said, "Oh, dear, that's too bad." And the farmer responded, "Well, maybe." And the next day, military officers came around to recruit people into the army. And they rejected his son because his son had a broken leg. And as the story goes, all the soldiers who went off to war in that specific battle had died. And the story goes on and on and on. The reason I share that is because the whole process of nature is integrated. And it's complex. There's immense complexity there. And it's really impossible to tell if anything that happens right away to you is all good or all bad, because we never know what will be the consequence of the misfortune, or we never know what will be the consequence of good fortune. We often label experiences as bad if we hate it, and good if we like it, but bad cannot exist without good, and vice versa. So whatever happens in your life, you'll never know the consequence it may bring in the future. You'll never know what will be the consequence of misfortune, and you'll never know what will be the consequence of good fortune until oftentimes days, weeks, months, or years down the line. Now, that's an Alan Watts quote right there. And I thought that was just a unique thing to share because I was listening to it, and it's like everybody thinks this is good for you, and everybody thinks this is bad for you, and well, maybe. Maybe it is today, but who knows what it will be tomorrow. And sometimes, again, for everybody who's, you know, out there dealing with whatever it may be, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, things in your family, things with your friends, things around you, that you can't control. And it seems like there is absolutely no reason it would happen. And it's hard to see any positivity, you know, or learn any lesson from the shit you're having to deal with. And you feel like you're just in the ocean and the waves just keep beating you down and beating you down. And every time you get back to the surface, another giant wave comes and just beats you down. And it's like, well, that really sucks. And this is awful. And this is the worst thing ever. I can't find any good in this. Well, maybe. But maybe there is something that comes from it. And I have to hold on to that belief, especially when I see things going on in my personal life with myself and my friends and my family and those connected to us. You know, I don't know what good or bad is going to come from the misfortune or good fortune that is happening around me right now. But I have to believe, you know, maybe there is a reason. And that's just kind of what I hold on to. And I believe that's what the story essentially is about. You know, we really don't know the full story or the full picture of things until often far down the line. So take that with you today, if you will. If you guys are rolling through some shit, just, you know, have the maybe, the Chinese farmer kind of mentality as you kind of look at everything from, you know, from a drone's eye view as opposed to just right in the middle of the storm. Now, real quick, I'll make this episode as fast as I can for you. We're talking my sleep routine. This is what I personally do, what I've done, what I've seen work for me and for clients of mine and from other doctors, takes and sleep scientists and these types of things. I've had a lot of friends who have had sleep apnea and do different sleep studies and various things about what's going on in their life and what works and doesn't work for them. Now, obviously, sleeping is different at all stages of life, whether you're a teenager or in your 20s or 30s or 40s and beyond. And for me, I don't want to say it's worse as I get older, but I guess it is. You know, I have to be more diligent about what I do. I have to create better environments and better habits. You know, years ago, you could just, at least for me, I could just kind of fall asleep, you know, or I could even stay up till midnight or 2 a.m. and then, you know, operate off of 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Now, it wouldn't be ideal, but I could be, you know, functioning. Now it's like I'm a bag of shit if I sleep, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours a night. I can damn near walk on water if I can get 8, but it's a whole hell of a lot harder now than it was, you know, when I was younger. You know, less responsibilities. Your body's probably recovering much faster. Your hormones are all running at optimal and everything is just, it just feels like it was easier. And as I've gotten older, I've talked about this on here before. I've had bouts with insomnia where, like, for a whole week, you know, I slept maybe one night like zero, like 5 minutes, and another night maybe an hour, and then another night maybe an hour and a half. And, you know, I tried all the things, like, hey man, try edibles, try smoking weed. And, you know, when I was like younger, like that would work, like take a hit and go to sleep. And even though you fall asleep, the quality of sleep I don't think is great. They have, you know, obviously research now that supports this, but if that works for you, that works for you. I've told the story on here before where I had a doctor one time prescribe me Ambien, and I took it, and it was like I was on a fucking mushroom trip through hell, you know. Slept, like, I don't know if I slept at all, because, like, my eyes were closed, and you feel like you're asleep, but you feel like you're awake, and it was like I was in, like, this forest and, like, in a swamp, and it was just, like, nothing made any sense. It was like I was tripping balls, trying to sleep, just not a great scenario. I've tried Lunesta before, which actually does seem to work for me. It does put me to sleep. I do stay asleep. That one had no ill side effects. So, again, that just goes to show, like, with the pharmaceuticals, some things work for some people, some things don't work for others. Some people, you know, if they feel like they have a drink before bed, that works for them. Or if they do edibles or they smoke weed or whatever, you do whatever works for you. Obviously, they have, you know, the science now that supports what does and doesn't work. But again, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do. I'm just going to walk you through what I've done. And this is, you know, coming from personal experience, nothing breaks you faster than not sleeping. Nothing puts you in a state of heightened stress, cortisol, anxiety, and essentially, you know, fight or flight than no sleep. It's, you know, watch those kids, you know, in Ranger school or the kids on the SEAL teams, like, it breaks them. a lot of them are crumbling because of the lack of sleep. And those are people who are, you know, training for it, the savages of the savages in their, you know, late teens, early 20s. If you're listening to this and you're 33 or you're 45 or you're 58, you got to get quality sleep, man. Nothing is going to break you faster and cause more havoc in your life. If you lack sleep, your body, your mind, your emotions, your life is going to suffer. Sleep deprivation occurs when you don't get at least 7 hours of quality sleep each night. Now, there's obviously varying levels of this, and everybody has different needs for what they do. But sleep deprivation can cause not just daytime drowsiness, but mood shifts, difficulty concentrating, slower thinking, slower reaction time. And it plays a role in the development of a lot of health problems. If you're somebody who has terrible sleep and you're lacking sleep and you're always in a major, you know, sleep deficit, some of the things that might come your way a lot faster, or you're at least, you know, at an increased risk of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mental health issues, hormone imbalances, reduced immune function. So you're not going to be as healthy. You can't fight off disease. Your body can't repair, because when you sleep, that's when all of these processes are happening. So again, it's important. It is critical for you to get, and again, you don't got to be neurotic about it. Every night's not going to be perfect. If you have the trackers, like the Oura Ring, I actually have the Fitbit, the Versa 4. I find that one to be great for me. Some people use the Whoop. Some people use an Apple Watch. I believe the Oura Ring is probably the best. But I wanted something to do more function, so I went with the Versa 4. I find that one is very detailed. I can walk you guys through, you know, exactly like what my averages are and what they look like. But if you're going to have a tracker, use it as a tool. But don't let the tool use you. You don't have to follow it like it's the Bible, you know, and live your life by it. It's just a nice way to kind of track and see what's going on. And sometimes, you know, they're super accurate, and sometimes they're a little bit off, and sometimes they can be way off. And you just have to go by, you know, how you feel and what you're doing, and just kind of audit your habits as you use those trackers. Now, if I talk about environment and routine here, the first thing I do, again, environment, it's really simple. I can go through with you guys how I do that, but if you want to go in the terms of the numbers, now, again, I've been somebody who has operated on, you know, no sleep and little sleep and still showed up and went to work and worked out, and it's just not ideal. And again, the one specific week I had where it was probably on like a 7 or 8 day span where I just, my mind wouldn't shut off, or my body wouldn't shut off, or whatever the multiple reasons were, just life, timing, you name it, where insomnia kicked in for me. I was not healthy. Like, I was just struggling to get through the days. And so knowing I've been there, and knowing I've slept perfect for, you know, years on end, and then had little bouts in between. Currently, as I sit here as a dude in his 40s who runs his own business and multiple businesses, and, you know, I have a wife and I have responsibilities and I have people I'm responsible for, employees and teams. And I do a lot, obviously, for you guys out there who have, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 kids. I can't even imagine what your stuff has looked like at certain times. But as of today, my personal average, since I've been tracking in 2024, my average sleep per night is about 7 hours and 23 minutes. Now, if I want to look at like this week specifically, I think right now, as of Wednesday, I am just under 7 hours for sleep, if I want to pull it up. But on so this week right now, my average sleep is 6 hours and 56 minutes. Now, I do try to play a little quote-unquote catch-up on other days. I used to be the guy who's like, I'm going to wake up at 3:50 every day no matter what, because I got to build this business. And I did that for many years. I don't have to do that anymore. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And that's me understanding that there's different seasons of life. That's me maturing. That's me growing up and realizing, hey, dipshit, you're not 29 anymore. And your body requires, you know, to maybe slow things down a little bit. Instead of being all gas, no brakes, you can be a lot of gas with a little bit of breaks. So I do try to catch up on certain days. So if I normally wake up at 4, if there's a day I can wake up at 5:30, my body naturally kind of just wakes up when it wakes up. So I can't sleep until like 7 or 8 or even like 6 a.m. But if I, instead of being at 4, if it can be at 5:15, there's another hour and 15 minutes I got, which I think is very healthy and helpful. And I'm much better and I'm way more productive with that extra hour and 15 versus just waking up and being just this lethargic, you know, sloppy bag of shit trying to do work. So I will say that's a major change that I've made in my life in the last probably year or so, is really just trying to take advantage of the gaps in the days when you can. I'm not a huge take a nap person, but every once in a while, if I can catch one, I think it's ideal. Anywhere from 20 minutes to, you know, an hour would be great. Rarely does it ever happen, but even 20 minutes sometimes I think is a good boost. But my personal average is about 7 hours and 23 minutes per night thus far in 2024. My light sleep is averaging about 5 hours per night. My REM sleep is around an hour and 30 minutes per night. And my deep sleep is about 1 hour per night. Although yesterday, oddly enough, I had one of the highest ones I've had in a while. I had 1 hour and 38 minutes of deep sleep, which is a lot for me. Again, I was sick earlier this year, and some of those days where I was like, you had 18 minutes of deep sleep. Like, you know, when you can't breathe and you're congested and you got shit going on and you're waking up, you know, in night sweats, you're probably not getting a lot of quality deep sleep. Now, again, those are the three stages of sleep. I think they might even go through four, but for the sake of this episode, and again, I'm not a sleep scientist, I'm just a dude who's walking you through what I've done and what I've seen clients do and what doctors and other sleep experts I've heard from and talked to say. Light sleep, REM sleep, deep sleep. If I want to go just ballparking stuff, there's no perfect split for everybody. You need all the stages, and all the stages do have benefits, but if it's light sleep, it's probably about, you know, 50% of your time, give or take. If it's REM sleep, it's about 25%. And if it's deep sleep, it's about 25% there. Now, ideal splits are going to be different for everybody. And again, if you're just off the top, if you don't know, REM sleep for most people is like the when you dream is what they, you know, kind of speculate in terms of just memory and mood. That tends to be the REM sleep. So the more REM sleep you get, the better your memory is going to code, kind of balancing the mood you're in. And that deep sleep is when your body really repairs, like from a workout and training. So the more you can get, the better. I think when you're younger, you probably tend to get more deep sleep. When you are older, you tend to get less. At least that's just what I've seen in terms of the research. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But on average, I get about an hour and a half of REM and about an hour of deep sleep. Some days more, some days less. And oddly enough, I get probably 99% of my, not 99%, I should say, I would say 90% or more of my deep sleep happens before midnight. And you know, a lot of you have probably heard, you know, the best time to sleep is between probably 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And the hours before midnight matter much more than the hours after midnight. I'm not saying that's true or not, but I have heard that said multiple times. And most of my deep sleep comes before midnight. So I go to sleep, I hit a stage of, you know, light sleep, and then when I look at my tracker, it just drops into deep sleep. Now, last night I had a little bout of deep sleep post midnight, but probably 90% of all my deep sleep happens before midnight, and there's a lot of nights where all of my deep sleep does happen before midnight, and I don't get any after midnight. It's mostly light sleep and REM sleep from there on out. A lot of times I hit that REM sleep before I wake up. So it's like you're having that kind of a dream or something, and then the alarm goes off or you just kind of wake yourself up and you come out of it. But that's what mine looks like. On average, I sleep almost seven and a half hours per night, 7 hours and 23 minutes, 5 hours light, 1:30 REM, 1 hour deep. Now, the setup in terms of environment and my daily practice and what I try to do to help me sleep. One, daily sunlight. Outside. I wear sunglasses most of the time, but I do take the glasses off to just get the natural light to kind of come somewhere near my eyes. I'm not staring at the sun like a fucking idiot, but I am like outside just having my eyes open. Even if I'm in the shade, I'm letting the sun hit me. But most of the time, I do have shades on just to protect my eyes, but I do try to get the natural light into my eyes as well. So daily sunlight outside, at least 30 minutes each and every day. Obviously, if it rains and it's super cloudy and whatever, it's a lot harder. But still, just being outside, you guys, even when it's cloudy, is much healthier for you than just being stuck inside with the fluorescent lights or whatever you're into. But I'm a fan of being outside as much as possible. I'm also a fan of grounding, for what it's worth. Like, we can do a whole podcast on that too. But I do think that's a real thing, and I do think it is healthy, and it does help. But I try to exercise every day, obviously. If I can be outside pushing a sled, doing a ruck, doing farmer's carries, or just walking, I think that's important. So again, the more time you can move your body through space, exercise at least 30 minutes a day, be outside for at least 30 minutes a day, no caffeine after noon. 95% of the time I do this. It might be once in a while where if I have a podcast that runs later, I do something, I have a little bit of caffeine at, let's say, like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. But for the most part, 95% of the time or more, or most weeks, I have zero caffeine afternoon. Once in a while it happens, but very, very rare. I found that to be super helpful because I used to be a person who would do caffeine later in the day. I would do caffeine at night. And even if I could fall asleep, I don't think the quality of sleep was as good because of it. From there, I kind of run my whole day. We'll do dinner at our house. Heather's much better at doing like the post-dinner digestion walks than me. At that point, I've usually had my steps in, my workout in, and I'm just smoked for the day. Sometimes I'll do it, but more often than not, I have dinner. From there, kind of dim the lights around the house. I'll take a shower, hot, steam it up, relax. I'll sit in there post-shower, just kind of take all the steam in, the warmth. It's relaxing for me. After that, after I take a shower for the night, very rarely am I on my phone unless we have to do something. But even if I'm on my phone and I check something, no email, no text, no calls, no replies. And I try to not be on the phone at all. So no social media, no anything. And the phone just sits in another room that I have it plugged in. I don't sleep with my phone in the room with me. I keep it in the bathroom or I keep it in the kitchen. I turn the alarm on and I can, you know, I can hear it if I need it, but I don't want to have it around me. From there, I might just put on a show, just Netflix, chill, relax, put my feet up. If I do any light, you know, mobility stuff, it's from the seated or laying position. And that's it. And that's kind of how I prep for bed. And then when I do sleep, keep the room super dark. Obviously, we have, you know, my wife and two dogs, and there's days where I have to get up at 4. So sometimes I'll sleep in a separate room just because it's easier that way. I know it's not sexy. I know it's not ideal for people, but it's just the reality of, you know, me having to get up and go to work, and I can't have my sleep disrupted by a puppy going crazy or this 14-year-old dog that just now doesn't sleep as good as she used to. And it sucks, but that's just, it's the price I have to pay to be optimal at times. So I go into a room, keep it as dark as I possibly can. I put a fan on so I have a little bit of air blown on me to keep it cool. Obviously, you guys know all the drills. Keep your house, the temperature down. I put a sound machine on so I can hear it. Honestly, I even travel with one when I can. So when I went to this event down south of Tucson this last week, I took the sound machine with me, put it in the nightstand right next to me, clicked that bad boy on. For what it's worth, the sound machine does really help me. It's not, I can't sleep real well when it's just dead silence. I like to have a fan on. I like to have some white noise in the background. I wear a mouth guard because I do grind my teeth, just, you know, full disclaimer. I have veneers and I don't want to break them. They're super expensive. I do use the nasal strips for breathing. I can share with you guys the ones I actually use. I don't know the name off the top of my head. But right on the bridge of the nose, it does open up your nose dramatically. It makes a huge difference. You put that thing on within a couple of seconds, you can tell you can breathe through your nose so much better instantly. At times, I'll put mouth tape on. So I just do all nasal breathing while I sleep and don't breathe through my mouth. Just like a vertical tape. It's just like a little piece of X. There's hostage tape. There's a bunch of different tapes out there. But we just use these vertical ones off Amazon. Super simple. I don't need to do that all the time. If I find myself waking up and my mouth is open for spans, then I'll start to do it. But I don't sleep with my mouth open, at least not that I'm aware of or Heather tells me or anybody says. So the nasal strips are great. I never sleep without those. I mouth tape most of the time. Sometimes I'll forget and I don't put it on. And then I do wear an eye mask as well. Super simple, just to make sure it's extra dark when I'm in there. I have two pillows that I use, a specific one I use for my head, and then one I kind of almost bear hug like a weirdo. I'm a side sleeper. I used to be a stomach sleeper. Sometimes I'll roll to my back for the most part, but a lot of times I do sleep on my side, probably more the left than the right. I got a specific blanket that I use. You know, I'm one of those weirdos. And I do, it's the one thing I do, and I'm not saying you do this. They say, you know, set all the screens, you know, away, you know, hours before you go to bed. I can't do that. I'm not great at that. So what I've done is I take an iPad and I put it on the darkest screen mode possible. So it's not very bright. It's actually very hard to even see, but you can see it. And I put the volume on something light and just something funny that I can fall asleep to. It might take me, you know, 20 nights to get through a whole movie. Or if I'm just watching a show on reruns that I've seen a million times, like The Office or Parks and Recs or you name it. But that's what I do. That's my routine. And that actually does help me fall asleep. I can't just go in there, close my eyes, be in the black. My brain will kind of wander and I'll start thinking about things. And then I get down rabbit holes and that's not good for anybody. So I do use, you know, I do watch screens before I go to bed, but I don't do it like a giant TV that's super bright on like the normal mode you would watch. I do an iPad, super dark, right next to me. I can see it a little bit, and then I can hear it a little bit, and then eventually I just wander off. And by the time I ever wake up, if I toss and turn or if I have to use the bathroom or something, the movie's already ended and it's completely done. On top of that, just environment and habits. Again, I don't sleep with my phone in the room. What the other number one thing in terms of technology that I don't do, and this is really simple, and I've probably talked about this before, or at least I've mentioned it to a bunch of clients, I never check the clock, ever. I don't check what time it is anymore. When I go to sleep, if it's, you know, 9:26, 8:54, 10:03, whatever it may be, that's what time it is. Now, I try to go to sleep at about the same time and wake up at about the same time. I watch UFC fights on Saturday night. I don't think I went to sleep till 11:26, which is super, super late for me. Most nights, it's like around that 9-ish kind of time frame. It might be 8:54 or 9:27, but it's like around that 9 o'clock is what I try to do. And obviously, there's nights where you're, you know, if you're entertaining with friends and family and you're doing stuff, obviously, you're going to, you know, stay up later, and that's just, it is what it is. You got to live a normal life and be a real human. But regardless of the time, I don't check the clock when I wake up. And I used to do that a lot. I used to be an habitual, horrible clock checker. And that would fuck with me. Because I would wake up and be like, okay, it's 1:37. And then I'd lay there, I'd toss and turn, and I'd check the clock again. Okay, it's 1:54. And then I'd lay there, toss and turn. Maybe I'd fall asleep, maybe I wouldn't. And like, now it's 2:26. And then I'd say, okay, well, now I only have an hour and a half to sleep, and I'm going to be so tired, and it's going to ruin the day. And, you know, you go down all the negative rabbit holes when you do that, and it fucks with you because you think like, oh, I haven't slept for 2 hours. But the reality is you probably did fall asleep for half the time or more than half the time, and you really weren't awake as long as you thought you were. You know, time is weird in that sense. It's like when you are stuck in traffic or on an airplane on the tarmac waiting to take off, 20 minutes seems like 20 hours. But when you hit the snooze, that 10 minutes seems like 10 seconds. Or when you're running late to something, time seems like it's sped up. You know what I mean? Like being stuck in traffic and hitting the snooze, those 10 minutes don't feel the same. And I think your mind plays tricks on you when you do that. So I don't look at a clock in my bedroom. I don't check the time when I get up or if I toss and turn. I'm just committed to being there. So if I'm going to be there from 9 p.m. till 4 a.m., that's what I'm doing. I'm just in bed. I don't have to get up. I don't have to walk around. I don't have to return emails or phone calls or look at anything or check what time it is. It's irrelevant. So whether I have 3 hours left to sleep or 3 minutes, I just need to be there. I just need to close my eyes, relax my mind, box breathe, or do the, you know, 5 seconds in through the nose, 15 seconds out through the mouth, 3 breaths per minute. A lot of people struggle to even get there. You could do 5 per minute, whatever it may be. You can meditate. You can count sheep. You can count numbers. Any of those things work, but just be there and be committed to laying in bed and just relaxing. Just be there. You don't have to check the clock. And that's, of all the things, that's the number one thing that's helped me the most is not looking at the clock when I wake up or when I toss and turn and then worry about how much time I do or don't have left to sleep and how much or little, you know, I am or I'm not sleeping. It's irrelevant. You're committed to being there. You have no other tasks and responsibilities to do during this time. So just be there, lay there, call it a night. Now, again, if you have, you know, animals to take care of and kids and stuff and they get up, I understand that. You can get up, you deal with it, but you don't have to sit there and worry about the clock and how much time you do or don't have. Now, that's been super helpful for me. Now, into the to nuts and bolts of this real quick, the supplements. The supplements I take before sleep, usually about 30 to 60 minutes before bed. 60 minutes would be the most. Sometimes I might take them 15 minutes before, especially if I'm getting tired and I'm kind of groggy. But these are the things that I take, and I'm not telling you to take them. We don't have partnerships with these guys. These are just supplements that I take that I've found help me get deeper, better, more restorative quality sleep. Now, do you have to take all of them? No. Are they going to, you know, instantly make you fall asleep tonight and sleep like a baby? No. But over time, I have found these have worked for me, and that's kind of how they work. It's not like a, you know, taking an edible or something or having, you know, a glass of wine. Again, they've all have research now where they say, you know, alcohol and you know, THC might help you fall asleep, but the quality of sleep you get is not as good and the stages become disrupted. And again, everybody's going to be different. For some people, I'm sure it's perfect. For other people, it's not so great. Me personally, I take a magnesium glycinate, 400 milligram tablet, just one pill right before bed. And the research on that, there's a 2012 study on how magnesium supplements could improve insomnia symptoms in older adults. They found that magnesium supplements significantly improve certain measures of insomnia, including the quality and the length of sleep. And obviously, one way magnesium can help you sleep better is by regulating your like GABA levels in your brain. You guys have probably all heard GABA before. GABA is the amino acid that plays a crucial role in your sleep. And so when you're about to go to bed, the amino acid helps signal your brain to begin to wind down and like call it a day. It gradually slows your brain's activity, thus aiding in sleep. And magnesium helps your body maintain healthy GABA levels throughout. So the first thing I take, 400 milligram supplement of magnesium glycinate. Now there's a bunch of different magnesium types. Magnesium glycinate is the one that I would take if you're focused on sleep. There's other ones for constipation, and you can go all the way down the list. We've probably even done a podcast all on magnesium as well and the different types. Actually, I'm almost 100% positive we have. It's somewhere back in the archives. But that is the first thing I take. The next thing I take is a glycine powder. The glycine powder is almost like a sugar. It's almost like a grainy, like a sugar when you see it. It basically looks like table sugar. It's amino acid. I take 3 grams before bed. And the reason and the benefits for it, glycine influences sleep in a bunch of different ways. Again, it's just an amino acid. It's nothing crazy. It helps you, in terms of the research that I've seen in the studies, fall asleep more quickly, increase your sleep efficiency, reduce the symptoms of insomnia, and improve sleep quality and promote deeper, more restful sleep. Well, how does it work? It appears to affect your body in a couple of ways. Like one, it can lower the body temperature. That's why I do think taking something like a hot shower or a sauna or a steam before bed can help you guys actually relax and lower the body temperature to get you primed and ready for bed. It can increase the blood flow to the body's extremities, which reduces the core temperature. It's one of the ways it works. And it can also increase serotonin levels. So serotonin has this complex relationship with sleep. Among other things, serotonin is required to make the sleep hormone melatonin, which again, you guys are probably familiar. Some people take melatonin to go to sleep. I don't personally take it. These are the things I take to have my body, you know, do what it does. That's why I do think getting natural sunlight during the day, in the earlier hours, getting outside, being in the sun, seeing the sun can help kind of regulate the body's circadian rhythm, put you on the right track to kind of have a healthy balance in your body, in your life. And then the last supplement I do take is something called inositol. And this is also a powder. This is more kind of like a powdered sugar when you do take it. I take 3 grams of this as well. You guys can do, you know, your own research and see how much you do or don't need for your body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just walking you through what I exactly do. Now, the inositol is a sugar found naturally in the body, in the blood, in the brains, in the kidney, and obviously in other tissues. It's, again, just a basic dietary supplement. Here's what I would say. It has a lot of roles in your body. One of the big ones includes regulating insulin and the neurotransmitters, which can have an impact on various conditions and diseases in the body. A lot of people actually will take it for certain metabolic syndrome, gestational diabetes, PCOS, it's actually very popular with. Now, there's still a ton of research that they have to do, you know, how the inositol and the sleep are affected. But what we do know is it can have effect on sleep quality and duration in certain people. It's been shown to impact circadian rhythms, which obviously help regulate sleep. Now, the research connects to melatonin and serotonin in various ways. Again, you're going to see a lot of these kind of cross-pollinate. And melatonin is an important hormone that obviously produced by your brain when it's time for your body to go to sleep. And the serotonin is obviously a hormone that plays an important role in mood, digestion, wound healing, and sleep. And so these are basically getting your body primed to have these run on high. So obviously, you guys know serotonin is needed for the body to produce melatonin. Now, in terms of the inositol, why I take it is it's been shown to help signal and function the serotonin receptors in the body. And they're still determining, you know, like the connection between how this specifically impacts sleep cycles. But what they do know is that it's vital and the impact it has on signaling circadian rhythms in some way. And again, as you guys know, the circadian rhythm is how we naturally sleep and wake up. And so those are the 3 basic things I take every night that I have found help me. Now, did they help with the first, you know, 2 nights of sleep I took them? No. But I think after a month or so, I noticed a pretty significant increase in the amount of not just how quickly I was going to sleep, because I was falling asleep faster, but more importantly, staying asleep. When I would wake up and have a disturbance, whether it's tossing and turning, or I heard a noise, or I had to go to the bathroom, I would fall back asleep and then get back into REM sleep and deep sleep and these things. So again, just to recap, the supplements I take 30 to 60 minutes before bed, magnesium glycinate at 400 milligrams, glycine at 3 grams. Again, that's that kind of sugary-like powder. And then the inositol, the 3 grams, more like a powdered sugar before bed as well. And again, all the other factors in terms of environment and prep that I do, that's what I found works best for me. Now, when I do track things, like if I do, again, I probably only had, it's March of this year. I think I've only had three alcoholic drinks in the past 7 months total. So I haven't really tracked how alcohol affects it. If I do eat a bigger meal later in the night, that does have an impact. I do tend to find I have less quality sleep. I'm awake more, again, because the apps all track like how much awake time you have as well. And so I find if I have a bigger meal later in the night or I eat something that's not, you know, kind of on my normal diet routine, I don't have as much quality sleep hours. So not as much deep sleep for sure. Typically not as much REM sleep. It's much more light sleep and I have more issues of waking up and I'm awake for a much longer period of time. So again, that, my friends, is just kind of the basic rundown of my sleep routine, what works for me, what supplements I take, what kind of environment I try to create. Some of these might work for you. Some of these might not work for you, but, you know, take what you want, leave the rest, and just try to make sleep a priority because it matters. And again, like I said earlier on, nothing breaks you faster than not sleeping. Nothing ages you quicker. Nothing makes the body and the mind break down faster than not being able to sleep. It just raises, you know, all kinds of stress and anxiety, and there's a lot of negative impacts of having poor quality sleep for long periods of time. And if you do struggle with it, see your doctor, go to do a sleep study, kind of get to the bottom of it, and then try some of these things. You know, the unplugging, slowing your mind down, doing things that are relaxing for you. I know a lot of us get so busy in our lives working and running around, it's hard to kind of decompress and unplug, but it's vital, it's crucial, it's important, and it's part of the recouping and the recovery process. If you can recover and recoup, you can get up and you can crush the day. But if you're always, you know, kind of running on half a battery, at some point your body and your mind is going to pay the price for it. So take what you like from this. Use what you can. If you have questions, as always, please reach out and ask. I'm happy to share with you guys what I find works best for our clients and our athletes, and what works best, obviously, for me as well. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a sleep scientist. I'm just a dude who, you know, has the same issues and struggles and responsibilities all of you guys have. And this is what I've found, you know, works for me as a guy who runs his own businesses and has you know, as much stress as most people do, and is in his 40s and trains and works out and is trying to be healthy and just navigate life. This is what I've found to help me recover and repair, to live to, you know, kick ass another day. So, again, 30 for 30 challenge is kicking off here in the app on Monday, March the 18th. You guys can click the link, join it for free if you're an app member. Everybody else gets a week for free. Otherwise, you can join it for a couple of pennies. Grand prize winner, we're flying out here. We're giving away a ton of free stuff as well on top of that. If you guys want a free sample of AG1, hit me up. I'll send it right to your front door. Don't feel weird or scared to ask. I'm happy to do it. If it makes you healthier, I'm happy to get your foot in the door. If you want any other discounts on our stuff from Just Meats or JLab Pro or Kettle and Fire, Dry Farms, check out the show notes. Reach out, ask us. If you are interested in training and working with us, please reach out. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, drop it a 5-star, leave a comment. We'd appreciate this. Same thing if you guys are on Spotify, drop it a 5-star, leave a show note on the episode itself, and share it with a friend or family member. If you got a friend or family member who really struggles with sleep and they're having a hard time and they think it's only them, it's not. A lot of us struggle with this. A lot of us have a hard time getting to sleep and staying asleep, and we've tried, you know, all different types of things. And again, that's why I do these episodes, because I know a lot of you guys have issues with certain things out there. And if I can be a voice of, you know, if nothing else, of reason and to kind of walk you through what might work for you and what might help you, I'm happy to do it. So just know, I've not always slept perfect. I've had my issues with sleep. I've had my issues with, like, everything in life. I've had my issues with everything. But I've found this to work the best for me now. And it might be different in 6 months. It might be different in a year. And if it does, I'll update you guys and give you guys the best information I have at the time to help you be as healthy and as happy as possible. So take that with you this week or this weekend, whenever you're listening to this. Get good quality sleep tonight. Trust me, it matters. Audit and fix your routine and your program, and I'll see you on the other side, my friends. So have an amazing rest of your day, and thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, we appreciate you guys. Subscribe to the Jeremy Scott Fitness YouTube page completely for free. Over 2,000 videos, always updating new stuff, and all these episodes are on there as well. So thank you guys, and until next time, eat well, train hard, be nice to people, and please, you guys, keep doing shit you love with people you enjoy, because your life is too short not to. I'll talk to you soon. Peace.